Now it's time for our weekly catch-up with the Labour Party's Carmel Cipollone.
For our weekly catch-up with the Labour Party, I spoke to Deputy Leader Carmel Cipollone about her experience at Waitangi, as well as the government's announcement yesterday that it will no longer fund cultural reports used in sentencing. Here is that interview now. First of all, I wanted to ask you about Waitangi Day and what your main takeaways were this year from the commemorations.
Yeah, sure. So I was up at Waitangi from the 2nd to the 5th. Clearly the political porphyry had happened for us on the 3rd and for the government on the 5th. The general masses that had converged on Waitangi were certainly unified. It was an amazing feeling to be in amongst it with the crowd who were there to actually make their voices heard to the government with regard to their absolute support for Te Reti o Waitangi, for tangata whenua, for te reo Māori, and all of those things. So really it was unity against everything the government has been pushing since they've got in, really. I didn't go up to the mid-eye for the government speeches, but I certainly watched the live stream. Very disappointing, actually, very cringeworthy in so many ways. The fact that so much of what the Prime Minister was saying was a repeat from last year, so a copy and paste of his speech. The way in which the other politicians from the government spoke to the people that were there in attendance, who had made, you know, the effort to be there to have their voices heard, in many ways it was very patronising and very condescending, and didn't go down well with all of those that were there. I have to say, you know, we were received well on the ground, whether it be from our interaction with the iwi leaders or whether it just be those people that we spoke to at the stalls. And so we did do a lot of just getting out and about and just talking to people while we were there. So it was a very interesting Waitangi.
We saw this year the largest protest hikoi to Waitangi grounds in modern history take place. What do you think this might suggest about public appetite for the policies that the new government is introducing or removing, particularly that will affect Māori?
Oh, it really is indicative of that strength of feeling against what the government is doing. They're needing to also make mention of the fact that it was Māori, it was Pākehā, there were other ethnic groups there in support of Māori, and so a broad range of New Zealanders who wanted to turn out and turn up to let the government know that their direction for this country is not the right direction and they're taking us down the wrong track. And so, yes, there was a massive turnout on the 6th in terms of that protest hikoi that turned up, but there were already so many people there. I have to add that I returned to Auckland on the night of the 5th so that I could attend the big Waitangi event in West Auckland. And again, the numbers were massive. I think that was the biggest turnout they've had for the YTT Waitangi at YTT event. Over 20,000 people. And solidarity in the audience. Again, a range of New Zealanders that were in attendance to not only enjoy the concert that was put on, the food that was there, but each other's company, and to also commemorate in a very positive way this very special day and te Reti o Waitangi.
How do you feel that Labour in its recent tenure better served Māori and upheld te Reti?
Well, we worked with Māori and we had a fundamental belief in the principles of the te Reti and the relationship between the Crown and Māori. Some of that was very obvious in terms of some of the big items that came about because of our government's tenure, things like the Māori Health Authority, things that unfortunately look like they or are being disestablished by this current government. Things like the Māori Health Authority were going to create the platform for change that had been missing for so many years, the platform that we needed to address the inequities that exist for Māori in the health system. There's no denying that Māori have worse health outcomes than so many other New Zealanders. And so that platform was really important. It is disappointing to see that the government is no longer moving ahead with it. However, there were other things that we did that perhaps weren't as visible. We had a social accord with Te Heku Iwi up north that had been signed by the previous government, but nothing had been done with it. We took action. We strengthened that relationship with the iwi. We went up there and I could see physically the changes that they had instigated and the support that we were giving and how important the support was that we were giving to their initiative.
I also want to discuss the government's announcement yesterday that they'll be scrapping Labor's prison reduction targets and no longer funding cultural reports. Can you tell me about what considerations were behind Labor introducing these policies, as well as Labor's approach as a whole to the justice system?
So the prison targets had to be set when we first took office because our prisons were busting at the seams. There were mass renovations that needed to be done to the existing prisons to get them up to scratch. But if we'd continued down the trajectory that the previous national government had left us, we'd be in the position where we would have had to build these mega prisons. And quite frankly, we know that that is not the best spend of taxpayer money, but also that the trajectory for New Zealanders, if we resign ourselves to the fact that we were going to have that massive increase in prison population, is not going to be good. And actually the protection and safeguarding for New Zealand moving forward would be potentially jeopardised in terms of, you know, future criminal activity. So that was why we set the target. However, funnily enough, you know, last year the Prime Minister did say that the target was no longer in place. Well, we'd avoided that situation that we were worried about in terms of needing to build mega prisons. And we were no longer at the point where our prisons were busting at the seams. But it seems like the National Act New Zealand First government want to take us back there. You know, they want to incarcerate more people. And that will inevitably lead to bigger prisons, bigger prison populations, so larger fiscal implications, and down the track, as I said, implications to society because of what we know happens when you do lock people up, particularly for extensive periods of time. The cultural reports, well, they've been in place since 2002, which meant that they were actually in place under the previous government as well. They are important, well, the previous national government as well as us. They are important because they can actually help with supporting, you know, strategies that will assist with reducing reoffending rates, you know, rethinking whether or not prison and incarceration is actually the right pathway for individuals or whether or not there is another option. So, again, very disappointing, very short-sighted, and I feel pretty disappointed with the government because it's almost they aren't telling the whole story to New Zealanders and instead are you know, painting a picture that they're going to be harsher on people committing crime. But in the end, who loses here? And unfortunately, it will be New Zealand in the short, mid and long term.
What will it mean that these cultural reports are not funded? Because the government has said that they're still able to be utilised, but that they just won't be funding them. So what impact will this have?
Well, as I've already seen reported, those that will be able to afford to pay the private costs to get a cultural report done will be able to do so. And those who cannot afford that cost will go without having a cultural report. It's been made very clear from the commentators speaking to this that the people who are more likely to lose are obviously those who are poor, but more likely to be those who are Māori and Pacific as well. And so here we go again with another measure that has the unintended or unintended consequence perhaps of creating further discrimination in the justice system for those that are poor and those that are brown.
How effective do you believe Labor was in reducing the number of crime victims, as National has highlighted this as a priority? Obviously, they're mostly focused on, it appears, ram raids and store break-ins. But how do you believe Labor was effectively able to reduce the number of victims of crime?
Well, we were already seeing a reduction in ram raids and that youth-related crime that had been occurring during and as a result of COVID, really. And so that came down to the investments that we made around full wraparound support for those young people and their whānau, as well as the safety measures that we'd invested in for the small business owners, particularly those dairy owners that were getting attacked. So we had already seen those ram raids come down. You know, I want us to keep in mind that one of the biggest crimes committed in this country is actually family violence. And so the investment that our government put into family and sexual violence was significant, and it was definitely more significant than what we'd seen previously. And the programs that came about because of the investment are ones that we hope to see continued to continued support by the government in. We have an issue in New Zealand with family and sexual violence, and we need government after government to continue to invest in those programs and to prioritise that particular area so that we can see a change in the behaviours that occur across Aotearoa. So, you know, I think that we did really good work and made the right decisions in investing and finally a strategy for family and sexual violence and finally putting money into those programs, and I'd like to see that continue.
That was Labour's Carmel Cipollone discussing Waitangi as well as cultural reports.
That was the Labour Party's Carmel Cipollone.